This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Carrying on with the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And we've just recently gone over where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, where Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was chosen as the Caliph. And then you had the issue of the army of Osama bin Zayd, and some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum objected upon dispatching the army of Osama bin Zayd, but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was insistent, and the army of Osama bin Zayd was dispatched. So the may, and remember that this army had the vast majority of the warriors of Islam in this army. So the army has been dispatched. But there is another issue, and this is a wider issue, that many parts of the Arab Peninsula have rebelled and apostated. Apostated, so they've left the deen in one form or the other. So what was the forms of how they left the deen? There were some who had totally and utterly abandoned Islam. There were others who had these false prophets, new prophets. So all these new prophets emerged because they realized that, look, this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, within a period of 23 years, he's become the leader of the Hijaz. Maybe if we will claim prophethood, we will also attain the same thing. So all these new prophets pop up left, right, and center. There were others, and this was the vast majority, who refused to pay the zakat to Medina. Either they refused to pay the zakat, period, or they refused to pay the zakat to Medina. And then there was those who would say things like, oh, we don't want to pray salah, or we want to change the salah, or this law is too heavy for us. Then you had these others who were in a state of doubt. And then you, even there were, na'udhu billah, some who actually rejoiced at the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in Arabic, this is known as ridda. To apostate is known ridda. Okay, technically, what it is when a Muslim to make a statement. So a Muslim makes a statement or performs an act which necessitates disbelief, necessitates kufr. So let me give you a few verses, or a verse in the Quran, and there are other verses in the Quran as well, which speak about irtidad and apostasy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تُطِيعُوا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ فَتَنْقَلِبُوا خَاسِرِينَ. So Allah says, oh, you believe, if you follow those who disbelief, then they will turn you on your heels, meaning turn you towards disbelief and kufr. So, and then you will turn away, you know, as losers from the rahmah of Allah and from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also in the hadith, the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of judgment, a group of people will come towards me from my companions, and then they will be turned away. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will protest that these are my companions. And it will be said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they turned on their heels after your demise. Also, you have the famous hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this also relates to this because we had a number of false prophets which popped up, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not be established until you have approximately 30 false dajjal, deceptive individuals, kathaboon, who will be liars. And each one of them will claim that they are a Nabi. Each one of them will claim that they are a Nabi. Now, let's go back to what were the reasons of apostasy. You know, the main reasons, the core reasons. One of the main reasons for the apostasy was economic. So they didn't want to give their zakat. Or if they wanted to give their zakat, they refused to give their zakat to Medina. It was too difficult for them to sacrifice, to place their hands in their pockets and spend. So this is like the statement of Aswad and Malik ibn Nuwayra. What did Aswad say? Aswad said to the tax collector, where the Prophet ﷺ had sent different people to different parts to collect their zakat. He said, stop taking the taxes, the zakat, and whatever you have gathered, give it back. Okay? Then you had Malik ibn Nuwayra, who the Prophet ﷺ actually made him the tax collector of his area. And he said, Muhammad made me in charge of the taxes. Now we don't give our wealth to anybody else, and nobody has a right over our wealth. Now, look, a few even use the Quran to justify them not giving zakat. So what was their delil? Allah says in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. So what do you think the delil is here? How do you think they took this as a delil? Anybody? خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. They're saying that the khitab here, the person who is being spoken to in the Quran, khuz, is the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the message of Allah is no longer here, khuz min amwalim sadaqatan, is no longer here, he has passed away, therefore we are not obliged to give anybody else the zakat. So this is subhanallah. So these people even use the Quran to justify their standpoint. There were others who would say things like, you know, they would say, yeah, if he was a Nabi, he wouldn't have died. They had all these beliefs. Now, one of the reasons that you had so much of a rebellion was that many of these people had never ever met the message of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the tribe leaders would come and they would embrace Islam, then they would go back and they would embrace Islam. Is that clear? The second reason why some of them refused and rebelled was that they found certain obligations too much for them. So they had a Nabi called Musaylimah. Musaylimah claimed to be a Nabi. And he said, I reduce the 5 times salah into 2 salahs. No, here's my hadiya for you, 2 salahs. Okay? And then the third one was tribal affiliation, like the statement of Uyayna bin Hisn. Uyayna bin Hisn, he said, we will rather follow a Nabi from our tribe rather than from the tribe of Quraysh. He had embraced Islam, but then a Nabi popped up from his tribe. So then he said, oh, no. You know, we want him from our qabila. We want him from our tribe. We rather follow a Nabi from our tribe than the Quraysh. And many of them had this tribal affiliation. You know, they would rather go with their own tribe than follow anybody else. Now, if you look at your papers here, this gives you a kind of understanding of what kind of forms and apostasies took place. So, those on your right-hand corner on the map, it says remain Muslim. So if you see the green portion to the left, these were the Hijaz area. A great portion of the people from this area remained firm on the deen. Okay? Then you have where at the bottom, Aswad, Yemen, you have certain people who stayed firm on the deen. Then in Oman, certain people. Then up north, certain people. You know, people like, for instance, the people of Taif. The people were of Taif were the last people, one of the last people to come into Islam. When they came into Islam, they had all these conditions. Okay, we'll accept Islam. We want this condition. We want this condition. We want this condition. Subhanallah. When the vast majority of people rebelled in one form or the other, the people of Taif remained firm. Mecca, Medina, Taif, wholesale remained firm. And then there were other tribes. These people remained firm. Then you have leaders remained on Islam. So if you see the green, you have all these leaders in different places where the leaders remained on Islam when great portions of their own tribe apostated. Then you have those who claim prophethood. So as I mentioned, there is a number of, you know, people who all of a sudden they claim, oh, I am a Nabi, I am a Nabi. And generally the tribes follow the vast majority of them. Now you look, you have Shaja. Shaja was a woman up north. You have Tulayha. You have Aswad al-Ansi, who was in Yemen. We will cover all these in a while. And then you had Zuttaj. And then you had the worst one out of all of them was Musaylama in the middle. So all these started to claim that they were Nabis. Okay. Then the purple, you have four in Yemen, leaders, powerful leaders, who refused to give the zakat to Medina. Okay. And then you have others scattered around on the map who refuse to give the zakat to Medina. So you could say this is, you know, a rough form of what the rebellion looked like. So where Aswad was actually in Yemen. Okay, then to your right you have Oman, you have also Bahrain on your map up here where it says Banu Abdul Qais. And then you have the Hijaz on the left-hand side. Okay, now what was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu Islam? So, just imagine this. Imagine this. The Messenger of Allah has passed away. Okay, so you have the trauma of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then the Messenger of Allah had prepared the army of Osama bin Zayd to leave. Okay, to go and fight in Sham. So the Sahaba saying, look, all the warriors are in this army. Abu Bakr, don't dispatch this army. Abu Bakr says, he dispatches this army. Subhanallah. 3 days after the demise of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he dispatched the army of Osama bin Zayd. Sheikh Salabi says, subhanallah, beautiful thing. He says, even the mourning of the Sahaba, even the crying and the mourning of the Sahaba was done through action. Look, imagine the trauma of the Messenger of Allah passing away. But in 3 days, they're gone. Abu Bakr sends them. Okay. Now, all the warriors are in this army. Now, you've got all these rebellions in all over this part of the world going on. There are tribes like Abs, Ghatfan, Dhibyan. They are thinking about attacking Medina. Now you have all this burden on your shoulders. They used to call Abu Bakr the soft-hearted one. They used to say Abu Bakr was the weakest in body, the Sahaba would say, thin, very, very thin. So what did the soft-hearted one do about all this? Abu Bakr stood up and he gave a talk to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And this is the talk of the Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhum, and I will read it out. He says, verily Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at a time when knowledge was a homeless entity and when Islam was strange and driven away. Islam's rope was cut short, its garment was tattered, and its people have strayed from it. He's talking about what's currently taking place, that people have apostated and other things have happened. And Allah despised the people of the book. Now why he mentioned, why did Allah despise the people of the book? If he gave them good things, it was not on account of any goodness in them. And if he diverted any evil away from them, it was not on account of any evil in them. The reason he's given now, what was it? They changed their book and added to them that which did not belong in the book. As for the Arabs, they felt shame thinking that they were safe from Allah, and they neither worshipped him nor supplicated to him. But when Allah gave them a good ending, making the most just nation, he held them against their enemies. And then he recited the verse of the Quran, وَمَا مُحَمَّدْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ رَسُولٌ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. He says, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not but a Rasul, and Rasul before him have passed. So if he dies or is killed, then will you turn on your heels? And whoever turns on his heels, he will not harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an iota. What he's saying is, look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. Allah gave you a just nation, a just deen. Why did Allah dislike the Ahlul Kitab? He gives a reason. Because they changed their book. Now what was the demand of the Arabs? We'll do this and we won't do this. We'll do this. So basically already they wanted to change the book. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu wasn't ready to accept that. So really all around you are Arabs who have refused to hand over their sheep and camels. If they have indeed returned to their old religion, they were never poorer than they are today. And you have never been stronger than you are today. And then he recited the verse of the Quran regarding the Arabs before Islam came, and you were on the brink of a pit of fire, meaning you're on the brink of the pit of fire, and he saved you from it. Thus Allah makes his ayat clear to you, and that you may be guided. And then he carries on with the khutbah. He says, by Allah, I will never stop fighting upon the command of Allah. Look at subhanAllah. Abu Bakr, you know, they say the weak-hearted one, the thin one. I will never stop fighting upon the command of Allah until Allah completes his promise and fulfills for us his covenant. Until the martyrs from the people of paradise are killed, and those who remain behind on earth are their successors and offspring. Allah's judgment is true and his speech is not taken back. So this is the khutbah that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gives to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, meaning, listen, I'm not backing down. Yeah, whatever needs to be done will be done. So then Umar goes to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and even Umar and the vast majority of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they see like all this rebellion, as you can see from the map, all this huge rebellion, so they go to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and they say to Abu Bakr, listen, why are you fighting all these people? So Umar says, didn't the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسِ حَتَّى يَقُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He said, I have been commanded to fight the people until they say, La ilaha illallah. Once they have recited La ilaha illallah, the Prophet ﷺ said, their wealth and their lives are protected from me. So their wealth and life, he said, these people recite La ilaha illallah. They may not give their zakat, but they recite La ilaha illallah, and the Prophet ﷺ said, once they recite La ilaha illallah, then their wealth has been protected. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he said, by Allah, I will fight these people if they distinguish between zakat and salah. If they make any difference between zakat and salah, they say, we'll pray a salah, but we won't give a zakat. He said, I will fight them because they are changing the deen. He said, if they refuse to give a small goat, which they used to give in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will fight them. And then he said to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, Umar, I don't think you've understood the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that then his wealth is protected from me and so is life, unless it is by some right and he has accountability is with Allah. He said, unless he violates a right of La ilaha illallah. He said, when he refused to pay the zakat, he has violated the right of La ilaha illallah. Then, what the Murtadeen did, what they did is that they decided now to send two people, Uyayna and Aqra. Uyayna bin Hisn and Aqra bin Habis, these were two leaders of the people who had now rebelled and become Murtad. Now, who was Uyayna? Uyayna actually participated in the battle of Hunayn with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he newly embraced Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually gave him wealth. He was one of the Mu'allafatul Qulub. He gave him wealth, okay? So he apostated, but then after Tulayha, the false Nabi, was defeated, he embraced Islam again, and his sister, Ummul Baneen, actually married Uthman ibn Affan. Aqra bin Habis was a renowned warrior in the times of Jahiliyyah. He also participated in the battle of Hunayn with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he turned away with his tribe. And then he embraced Islam again and he participated, remember this name, in the battle of Yamama, which we will cover soon. In the battle of Yamama, and he passed away in Central Asia, Khorasan, in 32 Hijrah. So subhanallah. So they came and they had a request. They said, look, the people have apostated and they are not ready to give anybody else the zakat like they were ready to give in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they said, have a truce with these individuals. Have a truce with these individuals and we will make sure that they do not rebel. Okay? So this was their proposal. They came and they suggested this. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and they said, Abu Bakr, look, Aqra and Uyayna just came and they said, look, all these tribes are now ready to attack Medina. Yeah, they can stop them from attacking Medina and rebelling. All they want is a truce. So let the army of Osama bin Zayd come back. When the army of Osama bin Zayd come back, then if we need to fight them, we will fight them. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu turned to the Sahaba and said, let me ask you a question. Do you agree with the proposal? They said, yes. For now we agree with the proposal. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave them a long khutbah in which Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu basically said, listen, I don't take any briberies and any blackmail in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By Allah, if they hold a string back which they gave in the Prophet time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I will fight them. So this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Then again, Umar comes, radiallahu anhu. And Umar says, look, people are rebelling. He says, look, unite the people. He said, be gentle with the people. So Umar, this is Umar, you know, Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, the big guy, the strong one. You know, every occasion he would say, oh, Messenger of Allah, move out of the way. Let me strike at the neck of this munafiq. Umar is now coming to Abu Bakr, the soft-hearted one, and he's saying, unite the people. Don't start a war with everybody. He said, appease the people. Be gentle with the people. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, he said a famous statement to Umar. He said, Ajabarun fil jahiliyyah wa khawarun fil Islam. He said, were you brave Umar in Jahiliyyah, have you become a coward in Islam? You brave Umar, you're known for your bravery in the times of disbelief. Since you embraced Islam, have you become actually a coward? Umar radiallahu anhu realized that Abu Bakr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had opened the heart of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So then Abu Bakr gave a brief talk to the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'een, and he said, the delegation came, meaning Aqra came and Uyayna came, and they made their proposals and we refused their truce. Now know that they think that you are small in number, and they will soon, see Abu Bakr had this deep insight. He said, they be guaranteed, soon they will attack Medina. Get ready for war. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, get ready for war. So what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did is that he sent messages to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu in Medina that they should all gather into the masjid. And then he sent the women folk, he sent them to forts. And what the apostates thought was that because the army of Osama bin Zayd had left, because the message of Allah had just passed away, the Muslim must be very, very weak, very, you know, disturbed. But they didn't understand that these people have a leader like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So he gathered the Muslims in the masjid and he told them, stay here and be ready. And then on the outskirts of Medina, he put guards, and at the head of the guards, the parties, he put eminent Sahaba like Ali radiallahu anhu, like Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu, who were known for their bravery. Exactly what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said 3 days after he gave his speech. 3 days later, they attacked Medina. So Abs, Ghatfan and Dibyan, they attacked Medina. The Muslim managed to repel them. They reach to a place called Zihissa, which is about 14 kilometers southeast of Medina. And that's where they were camped. So they ambushed the Muslims there. They startled their camels, but the Muslims managed to hold their ground. So this is the first encounter. The second encounter is that the Muslims now, they leave Medina to meet them at Zihissa, and they leave Zihissa to meet the Muslims. So the Muslims actually realize that they're coming. So the Muslim now goes total and utterly quiet. When the apostates reach, they attack them, they rout their army, and now they run back to Zihissa. Now what happened here was that now they were very, very upset, the apostates. So those Muslims who had actually still remained firm on the religion of Islam amongst them, they put every single one to the sword. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also, whilst this was going on, he sent a message to the tribes who lived around Medina who were actually still had not apostated. So these armies had not apostated. So he sent, these tribes had not apostated. So he sent a message to these tribes. Amongst these tribes was Aslam, Ghifar, subhanAllah. This is Jeep. Why? Aslam and Ghifar were two armies, two tribes, which actually embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari was one of the first people to embrace Islam. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, go back and preach the deen. And he disappeared. The whole 13 years of the Meccan period, he's not seen. Badr happens, Uhud happens, nobody, he's not seen. And then later on, one day he hears such a rumble. The people of Medina hear such a rumble. They think Medina is being attacked. So they go out and they see Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, and with him, the entire Ghifar tribe is with him. And you know, the Ghifar tribe were known to be bandits. And this is why when Abu Dharr al-Ghifari embraced Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, which tribe are you from? He said, I'm from Ghifar. Messenger of Allah was shocked that somebody from Ghifar had embraced Islam so early. He said, Allah guides whoever he wishes. So Ghifar embraced Islam. Aslam, the entire tribe of Aslam embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. And now when they were needed, they didn't apostate. They stayed firm on Islam. So when they were needed, they came to the assistance of the Muslims. Also Muzayna and a few others. Basically, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu called them, the narrations mention that the entirety of Medina became filled with individuals. So it became filled with army and individuals. Then the third time, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu now went and he attacked them. And he routed the armies and they fled. Abu Bakr had taken an oath that every single person who killed a Muslim, because they killed the Muslim from their own tribes, he would take revenge. So those who were captured and those it was proven that they had killed a Muslim, Abu Bakr put them to the sword. And then Abu Bakr as-Siddiq expelled them from their land. Why? Because these people lived close to Medina. So Abu Bakr realized that these people will always be a threat. You can't trust them. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu now expelled them from their lands. The ajeeb thing about this is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is over 60 years old. In every single expedition, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu led the expedition. He could have stayed at home. Ali radiallahu anhu went to him and he said, Abu Bakr, stay behind. Don't go and fight. He said, I say to you what the Messenger of Allah said on the Battle of Uhud. You know what happened in the Battle of Uhud? The Battle of Uhud was when the Abu Bakr's son was on the other side and he said, Who is ready to duel with me? And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu stood up and the Prophet ﷺ grabbed his hand and he pulled him down. He said, we have need for you, O Abu Bakr. Okay? Some other Sahaba said to him, Abu Bakr, don't go out and fight. He said, what if you die? He said, listen, I will console you with my own sacrifice. Meaning, at least if I die and I get martyred, you will have the consolation that at least I died for the sake of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, you know, subhanallah. Somebody said to Abu Bakr, you know, when all this was happening, this is Jeeb. They said to Abu Bakr, you know, all the masibas, all the trials, imagine, the Messenger of Allah has passed away. You got the army of Osama bin Zayd, then you got the whole of the rebellion. He said, if such a masiba had fallen on the shoulders of a mountain, the mountain would have crumbled. He said, how did you manage? Abu Bakr said, you know, that day I was in the cave with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. Do not grieve, Allah is with us. That since that day, I've never really feared anything. Radiallahu anhu. So this is that period, the early period of the apostasies which took place around Medina. Inshallah, next lesson, inshallah, we will carry on with this topic. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the Sahaba radwanallahu ajma'een. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. May Allah place us amongst the pious, the Sahaba, the Siddiqeen, the Anbiya on the Day of Judgment. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching. And please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.